Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Glad you're with us today, everybody, as we continue in our study from the book of Hebrews. Bob and Richard have brought some very revealing insights into this book, and so, guys, I guess we should get started, huh?
Well, we should. I think this is just great fun. We're in Hebrews chapter 12. We took a stab at it last week, thinking we might get through the whole chapter, but we didn't.
That's right. About a third of the
surprise,
chapter.
Surprise, surprise. Yeah, yeah. So today I think we're going to make it to the end. Yeah. But, you know, don't bet on that, at least not yet. So last week we looked at the discipline versus punishment. That's a big confusing topic out there in the world today. Yeah. Does God punish us when we sin? And the answer to that is absolutely not. He does not punish us when we sin. The punishment for sin is death. And Jesus stepped in our shoes and took that punishment for us. So he tasted death for everyone. We read that in Hebrews chapter 2. So we have to realize that when God disciplines us, he's training us, equipping us to run this race that's been set before us. That's what he wants us to do, is to run with endurance, perseverance, so that we will produce a harvest of righteousness, so that we will share in his holiness. And so discipline is a good thing. It's something that we should look forward to. It's something that we should welcome. It's an assurance that we truly belong to God, that we're not illegitimate sons, that we have truly been born again and are a part of the family of God. So it's a way in which God shows us that he loves us, that he cares for us. Yeah. And that love does all kinds of wonderful things, but it'll roll up its sleeves when necessary to correct, to reprove, to get us back on the right track. It will encourage us when we need to. Be encouraged. It will do whatever to move us down this path so that we can run this race set before us and reach the finish line. And Jesus Christ is the one that we need to look to. He's the author and perfecter, the finisher of our faith. He's the one that's going to deliver us to that stated end. So this is all a very, very positive passage. It's not something that we should resist. It's not something that we should fear. It's something that we should openly embrace and say, Lord, whatever you want to bring into my life in way of teaching me and those sort of things, I welcome that, because I want to share in your life. I want to participate in the divine nature. I truly want to experience the peace of God and a harvest of righteousness. So this is something that we should welcome. So we're going to pick up in verse 14, or actually verse 12. I can't read my numbers. They're so small over here. It says, therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. So again, he's getting to this race metaphor. Yes. That we have a race set before us. We're to run this race with perseverance. And these folks were obviously experiencing some type of hardship in their lives, whether it was persecution. We're just not 100% sure on who exactly the writer of Hebrews was addressing. But we know from this passage and from several others that they were going through hardship. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when we in life go through hardship, we get the blues, don't we? We get discouraged. We would just want to throw up our hands and give up. We get knocked out of joint, so to speak. And here's a passage telling us to keep going. You know that this discipline, that what you're going to receive from the Lord in the midst of this persecution, in the midst of this hardship, is going to be for your benefit. So recognize that, and in recognizing that, let's lift those drooping hands and strengthen those weak knees, and let's keep moving forward in this life that we have in Christ Jesus. And it's a wonderful encouragement, isn't
it? It shows the difference attitude makes. If your attitude is, oh my goodness, God's going to punish me, then every little thing that happens, whether it's just minor or whether it's severe, causes us to have weak hands and feeble knees.
Yeah.
But when we know that because of Jesus, we are forever his, and that anything that happens to us is just bringing us closer to him, then that attitude makes a straight path for our feet, and it helps us to bring people who may be lame in
right.
this metaphor
along
with us. So it's all about attitude. We either believe who Jesus is, that he's on our side, that we're never going to be punished. We will be disciplined, but not punished. Or we wring our hands and say, oh, poor me, because God
yes.
doesn't like me.
Right, yeah. right. And the folks here, this group, there were some that were simply professing to know Christ.
Yes.
They had never really been born again. And this persecution was causing them to rethink all of Christianity. Is
yeah.
this the right thing? Is the new covenant actually the covenant? Is Jesus actually the Messiah, the one that we've been looking for? But you would think if he was, and if this new covenant was the covenant for us, then we wouldn't be persecuted. We would rise up and be the people that everybody would look up to, would envy, would want to be like. But that's not the case. They're throwing stones at us. They're persecuting us. So a lot of those folks were rethinking and were shrinking back, going back to Judaism to be protected from that persecution. And those who were in the faith, if they got encouraged by the discipline, welcomed it for what it was, and they lifted up those hands and they strengthened those weak knees and moved on, it may be the very thing that would cause these folks who were wavering to say, no, I am moving
yeah.
forward in faith with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So this is a powerful metaphor. Run your race, run it with perseverance, run it strengthened by God himself, his Holy Spirit working in you. And others may see that and say, hey, this Jesus really is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
I want to move in that direction. So he says, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. So we need to be at peace with everyone. We strive for that. We eagerly pursue that. And it says, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. And that holiness is this being made holy in the sight of God by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It is being made holy, cleansed from the inside out type of thing. And without that, we're not going to see the Lord. And he's referring to Hebrews 9:28, where it says that this Christ, this Jesus, will come a second time. He will appear a second time, and he will come to those waiting for salvation. And that's the
yes.
race. That's the end. That's where we're headed. That point when Jesus is going to reappear and we're going to see him. Well, if we're not a part of the people of God, if we haven't been set apart through our faith in Jesus Christ and cleansed because we've received him, then we're not going to see that appearing. So that's what this passage is all about. That's the end, and this race is moving us toward that finish line.
Indeed. Well, friends, this is our study through the book of Hebrews on Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you're with us. Friends, as you've heard many times, Basic Gospel is able to be on the air only because of your faithful support, that of you, our listeners. And every time we read a listener email or you hear a caller saying that what they've heard has made a difference in their lives and their understanding of the gospel, well, those who have given to support this ministry have had a part in that, and we want you to share in the blessing of partnering with us too in this message of the love, grace, and life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Your gifts, friends, do make a difference. Join with us if you can. Click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can donate by phone at 844-322-2742. Make your gift today if you can and help us spread this message far and wide. Again, that's 844-322-2742, or donate online at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to pick up in verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 12. And it says there, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal, For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. And here's a really, I think, stark warning in this. The grace of God has appeared in the person of Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Now, you're either going to receive him and receive his grace by faith. That's the whole story. God has acted on our behalf in Jesus. He has shown us favor, and we receive that by faith. Or we shrink back, and that's what he's talking about. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. Don't be just a professor with your lips. Don't just say you believe and check off the doctrines. Actually receive Jesus, because it's only in Jesus that you're going to experience the grace of God. Now, many folks were looking at the persecution, and they were allowing bitterness to creep in, much like the rebellion in the desert when they were set free from Egyptian rule. You know, they had 40 years of wandering in that dry land, and they were longing to go back to Egypt, and there was a root of bitterness, and they did not combine the message of rest and a promised land with faith. So they died in the wilderness, and a new generation was raised up that actually entered into the promised land. So he's saying, don't be like that. And he brings some other things in here, sexual immorality. You know, when times get tough and we start feeling down, a lot of men are thinking, boy, I need a little pleasure to get me out of this pity party. And sexual temptation starts knocking on the door, and it starts to look very desirable, and many give in to it. We see it time and time and time and time again in our country, both secular and within the church.
Yes.
Just the number of pastors that have had to step down because of sexual indiscretion is just mind-boggling.
Yeah.
But a lot of it has come because they've gotten down on themselves. They may have felt lonely, isolated, that things weren't working out the way they had hoped for them. And so to bring a little pleasure in life, they reverted to sexual immorality. Don't be unholy like Esau. Now, this is an interesting little section right here. Tell us a little bit about Esau and why this is important to us, and this troubling verse about he found no chance to repent.
Well, Esau and Jacob were twins, and Esau was born first, so you would think, under normal rules of that day, he would get the birthright. He would get the family blessing. He would be the most important of the sons. But God had predicted that Jacob, his brother, would actually be the one who would get the blessing. Time passes, and Jacob turns out to be a homebody, and Esau's a guy of the field, and he goes out and he's hunting, and he comes back and apparently wasn't real successful hunting, and he was starving. And he was so hungry that he thought he was going to die. And Jacob says, well, you know, I'll give you some food if you give me the birthright. And Esau says, take it. I don't care. Give me some food. And so more time passes. And then, you know, Isaac is about to die, and he wants to call his sons in to give the blessing. And Jacob makes this sale final by fooling his dad that he's actually Esau. Well, Esau had sold the birthright. And I think if these guys had allowed God to do what he was going to do, Isaac would have figured something out and given the right blessing. But they had to take matters into their own hands. And so Jacob got the blessing. Esau shows up later. He comes in to get the blessing. And the blessing had already been given. Once given, it cannot be taken away. That's why there was no repentance. Right? You sold your birthright. You treated it as an unholy thing. You've rejected what could have been rightfully yours. And because of that, it was given to someone else, and now you're left holding the bag. He got a blessing, and he was successful in his life later on, became the father of another nation, the Edomites, and yet there was this loss that he suffered because he treated it so shabbily. It was his to lose, and he lost it with prejudice. Get it away from me. I want some food. It's a sad, sad story.
Yeah, it is a sad story. And how it relates to these Hebrews that the writer was writing to, was they were in danger of doing exactly the same mm-hmm. thing. So the blessing that they were to receive was through Christ. And yet, because of the persecution, they were going to sell that birthright,
yes.
that opportunity to be born again into the family of God for safety within Judaism. They were going to shrink back, go back to the temple, go back to those sacrifices. And he's saying, don't be unholy like Esau, because what he became was offensive and kind
yes.
of a wickedness that bubbled up inside of him. Mm-hmm. Don't be like that. Don't become offensive to God in the rejection of the Son, the blessing that is offered to you in Jesus. And so that's what these people were in danger of doing
yes.
in rejecting Jesus. Now, they had come along. They had followed along a little bit. They had said some of the right things, but now that persecution was right there at their heels, they were saying, wait a minute, a minute. And so they were in danger of doing exactly like Esau, selling their birthright for safety within Judaism.
Yeah.
So don't be like that.
Don't do that.
Let's run the race.
Don't
God
is
set
yeah.
set before us. We have Jesus. We have Jesus in us. He is going to perfect our faith. He's going to deliver us to the end. We're going to experience hardship. Allow God to teach us in the midst of that. Let's move forward in faith. That's the message
yes.
the writer is trying to convey right here. And it is a powerful, encouraging, just motivating message. You know, he's standing there like Vince Lombardi in the middle of the Green Bay Packers, and he is motivating, and he
yes.
is moving men to do what they have been called to do. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is doing right here.
Well, the writer of Hebrews, of course, is the writer of Hebrews, and that's the study this week at Basic Gospel, and we're glad you're here for this particular session. Bob Davis with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, and if you missed any of these Friday sessions, well, we would like you to go and review them on our archive. You can find it at basicgospel.net/teaching. The entire Hebrew series is there for you, and friends, we hope you'll share it with your family and friends. It's a great opportunity to share what you learned with them, people who are close to you. Again, that's at basicgospel.net/teaching, and take advantage of the archive.
Well, thanks, Bob. Well, let's move on. Let's finish this. I think we can do it today, Richard. You know, the next little section here, starting in verse 16, is about the unshakable kingdom that
yes.
we're a part of, that will, you know, come down from heaven, and that will be where we are forever. And he contrasts that to Mount Zion. And it's an incredible contrast, isn't it? Walk us through this little section here.
Okay, so remember, in all of this, he's talking to people who know the law, some of whom want to go back to the law. The law was given on Mount Sinai. And God was very, very specific about building a fence around the mountain and saying, no one comes past that fence. You can come to the fence, but don't touch the mountain because it is holy. I'm going to be here, and by extension, everything that I've touched is holy. And touching that for man or beast was a death sentence. God is impressing us with his holiness. He has the right to do that. So the people took him at his word, especially when he spoke to them, and every word he said, they took a step back and a step back and a step back. And finally they said, Moses, we can't handle this. If God speaks anymore, we're going to die. You talk to God and then come and talk to us. So they took that literally. And it was good that they did. They just overreacted to it because God did want to be in relationship with them. So if you go back to the law, that's what you're going to. You're going to a mountain that cannot be approached. You can't touch it. Remember, he says back in chapter 4, just come boldly into the throne room and receive mercy and grace. Well, that's not Mount Sinai.
No, not at all.
Not at all. And so now he's making that contrast and saying, look, we haven't been called to Sinai. We were called to Sinai, but we're done with Sinai. We've been called to Zion, the very city of God himself.
The living God.
The living God.
Which means we have been made alive with him.
Absolutely.
So he's living, and those that are going to be with him have been made alive. We are living. As Peter, I love the imagery in Peter's letter that we have become living stones.
Yes.
We are part of this new building that God is building with his hands. And so that's such a significant phrase, the living,
yes, the living God,
which means everybody that's there shares in his very life.
Yes. So Paul mentions this in a different way in Ephesians. He says, we're already seated with Christ in the heavenlies, or the heavenly places. Well, here's the writer of Hebrews' version of that. You've been invited to Zion. As a child of God, you've been made alive. You now have a right to be in there with the living God and to worship him and to meet all the angels in the general assembly of the church of the firstborn who enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, absent from the body, present with the Lord, and to Jesus himself, who was the mediator of this new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. I mean, this is the privilege we have as children of God. Every aspect of our life in Christ is true because he's alive, and he has made us alive. So walk boldly onto Mount Zion and meet him face to face.
Right.
Do not shy away.
So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, the law is a ministry of death.
Yep.
But this new covenant is a ministry of life. And we see that contrast
right here
in this particular passage. So he says, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. And that's Jesus Christ himself. For if they did not escape, those that refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. So Jesus, God sent Jesus. Jesus came down from heaven. He was not from here. He was from above. And he is speaking truth to us. And so we need to listen to him. We need to receive him. And here's this warning to those that are sitting on the fence, that are starting to shrink back because of the persecution, starting to rethink this whole thing. And he's saying, don't refuse the one who is speaking. He is God's final word to you. He is God's highest word to you.
Yeah.
And everything that you're looking for is found in him. And even though this world seems a little weird and odd and strange, and it feels a little insecure, there's a kingdom that's coming.
Yeah.
And all of this that is going to be pushed away is going to be pushed away, and what remains is that kingdom that we should be grateful for, that we're grateful that we're already a part of, and grateful that we will be a part of eternally. So it says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. What we have in Christ will endure forever. Yeah. Therefore, run the race.
Run
the race boldly with perseverance, knowing that Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter, is the one that's going to be moving you down that path of righteousness. This is good news, folks. This is exciting stuff. We get to see the hope that we have in Christ, the hope that anchors us right here and now, that motivates us to move forward.
An indestructible life and an unshakable kingdom.
Absolutely.
Win-win.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, friends, thanks for being with us today for the study in Hebrews. We need your help to keep this message on the air and to take it to others who need to know of the love, grace, and life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Click donate when you visit basicgospel.net or donate by phone at 844-322-2742. And when you give this month, of course, we have a very special gift to say thanks for your partnership. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. And later today, tonight, or over the weekend, if you have a question about what you've heard on Basic Gospel, give us a call at that same number, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with a wish for all of you moms who are listening to have a wonderfully happy and blessed Mother's Day celebration this Sunday. We celebrate you. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll look forward to being back with you again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We hope you'll join us. See you then. Have a great weekend.